गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनश्रण्वन्नुतिभिः सीदसातनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन क्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्बत्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीं सर्वोपनिषदो गावः दुग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः. So, last time we met, and then we got to until verse 18. Number 18, yeah. So there was talking about the equal vision of the jnani, that regardless which being is in front of them, they see the same. So of course, the eyes are still working. It's not that the jnani needs glasses, right? Like this. And not that from the vyavaharika, from the worldly perspective, doesn't see the difference like this between, you know, between different things. We'll treat ones according to whatever the situation is. But through understanding, seeing that there's no difference like this. And in the Vedantic study, Vedanta Vichara, the inquiry, then different methodologies are used. Just like in science, they do some experiments where they're going to write about it in Science magazine or whatever accepted scientific magazine, they'll write the paper. They're going to explain the methodology they used. Otherwise, they'll say, how come? How did you do that? How can we replicate it? So one of the methodologies which is very useful is the Swapna Vichara, which we mentioned a little bit last time. Because the deep sleep and the dream state are very useful data for our analysis. Where actually, very interestingly, one of the greatest masters that came to the West, the second one that we know of that came, within a few years after Swami Vivekananda came, and Swami Ramatirtha came also, our area here, he visited our area, big area, gave talks here, their books where his talks are there. So he said, listen, you want to analyze the human condition, you want to understand yourself, but before even the analysis, you take two-thirds of the data and you throw it out, meaning only taking the waking state and analyze by this. No, those are just epiphenomena in the mind. Wait, first analyze, then decide that you get rid of that. That's not good data. So the swapna vichara, very useful. In swapna vichara, there's many, many aspects to it. We won't go in all details now. But when you look at the dream state, still there's the duality, me and other thing, me and the world, me and other beings, right? But then when you wake up from the dream, when you analyze the dream, you see it was only you. It was Advaita, only you. Anything, anybody, anything, the whole dream world is you, right? If you just think about it and tell somebody I had this dream, you don't think of it that way. You just tell the dream what you experienced, you know, oh, it's so wonderful, or oh, why did this happen? You want to analyze whatever psychology, whatever you want from the dream. But the whole dream itself, the whole dream world is only you. Everything else is superimposition, you're just your thoughts. Very useful like this. So we say the jnani sees this world in the same way. Sees the whole world, so it's just them, just the one consciousness. Now, you the individual in the dream isn't the whole dream world. But when you're awake, you the waker, who's, you know, the one who dreamt the whole dream, yes, that whole thing is you. So I, the individual, is not, the jnani won't say, I, the individual, is everything, but I, the consciousness, is everything. Everything within the consciousness, like this, is how they see. And we opened a can of worms, so we'll just point it out again a little last time, which looks very deeply at this, is, we said then, how does the jnani see it like the dream? Well, we say, well, look, the dream, the only difference between the dream and waking, in the waking, you get, there's some sensation in the senses, in the eyes, ears, etc., coming from outside. In the dream, it's just coming from your own mind. Everything else then is the same, because everything else is your reaction, your ideas about it. So that's the difference, is that the impulse, some impulse through the senses, where instead of impulse just from the mind. Otherwise, that's where the difference lies between the two. So we say, well, since this is the difference, recollect anything from yesterday or from last year, where is it sitting? It's in your mind, so it's same as a dream, because it's your ideas. So if you think about anything from the past, think about anything outside, you know, somewhere else that you're not immediate. When you're thinking that, it's in your mind, meaning that it's you. It's not Dvaita, it's only you, correct? Think of the future. Anything that's not the immediate experience of the senses means that it's going to be only you, right? Anybody you think of, anything you think of, it's you with some ideas. So that only leaves the present moment for the only time where you can say that there is something other than you, the conscious being. Only time. But now, do we see the present? We see the present moment, though, tinged with the past, meaning tinged with my conditioning. So I'm not seeing the present moment. I see the present moment, and I put many of my ideas onto the present moment. If I remove the conditioning, right? My conditioning, when you look at something, you know, you separate in different ways, right? Somebody, there's now Olympics, somebody who's a trainer looks and sees your muscles, sees your ability, sees it like this. There's a beauty pageant, Miss America or Mr. America. They're looking also at something. A doctor will look differently. The cat, the tiger will look at us differently. So we break it down. We break down according to how our conditioning. Take away the conditioning, it'll be very different. And if you're really just the present moment without past, future, then what are, to have something, you know, it's just presence. This moment, if you're really present, that's why if you're really present, all the things are gone because no conditioning. So we build the whole thing on our conditioning. And then the present moment, we tinge with that. With the present moment, if you're really present, there's no limitation, totally present. You know, as in mathematics, when things go to, you know, go to extremes, goes to zero, then in certain equations, then it just, you know, skyrockets. So here goes, You go to present, to zero, it becomes infinite. There's no limitation, present moment. So where is the external world for you like this? So this is one way to look at it. So from the jnani, they see it's just a, you know, it's a dream. The conditioning is creating my whole world. It's really just the one presence like this. So this is one way to look at it like this. So that's why they'll see everybody the same. Because if you think back at your dream world, everything there, it's the same. It's just your ideas and you. Take away the ideas, just you, one consciousness, one conscious being. So this is one way that we can look at it, why the jnani sees just one. Okay, so this is what we discussed last time, just to bring that point back, because it's a subtle point like this, how we can look at it. So let's continue here from 19. So it's on page 24, the verse 19. Ihai vatair jitas saragaha. Here itself, birth is overcome by them whose mind is established in sameness. Samam, sameness. Brahman is indeed the same and defectless. Therefore, they are established in Brahman. So again, it's continuing to talk about the jnani or sthita prajna. So one important thing here, iha eva, here and now, only here and now. So the moksha, self-knowledge, isn't something at some point, because one of the beliefs that people have, I will die and then I will get to there. I will get to whatever heaven it is, depending on the, you know, what my belief system is like this. But there's no, why is the guarantee then it'll be? Then, right? Vedanta says, no, it's right here and now. It's not if liberation is in a specific time, anything that happens in time, then if it happens in time, then in time it also will go away. The whole universe comes in time and dissolves. So nothing in time can be permanent. Because time itself, then we say that's not. Time itself is a counterpart of the mind. When there's no mind, there's no time. Right? Deep sleep, where's your time? There isn't any time. So when the mind isn't there, so, and moksha doesn't have to do with mind, right? Because mind is kind of is a phenomena. It's not me, the essence, I'm there. If the mind is noisy, I'm there. If mind is quiet, I'm there. I'm the same one there. So it doesn't have to do with mind, with the mental state. Or also place. It has to do with the place, like this. In this place, people go to Varanasi in order to die there, because they think they'll get liberation by dying there. I was there years back, and Tulsidas, very famous, he even wrote, grew up, lived whole life in Varanasi. He went to some small village away from there to die, just for the point to say, it's not that you're going to die here, that's going to liberate you. Again, people go, the state of mind, there's nothing wrong, that can, you know, you're in a good state of mind, okay, maybe it'll do some good, but sure, but that's not what's going to bring liberation. So here it says, right here and now, because the moment I know what, you know, I know I'm this one, I always was this one. You wake up from the dream, you see, oh, this whole thing is dream, the whole thing was, everything is gone. It's not a time, the waking up isn't a time in the dream, it's outside of the dream world when you wake up, right? Because from the dream world perspective, that time is endless, right? There's no end to it. You wake up, the whole dream world and its time, all of them get falsified. So that's why it's an understanding, okay, that of what I am is unchanging, not touched by this. That's why it's now, it's not at some place or some point. This isn't, because people think some special experience at some time, some this, but it's a recognition of what I always am, like this. This is what it is. So right here, iha. So in this way, taijitaha sargaha, by these people, the creation, the samsara, is conquered. So again, it's not conquering as the, as in, you know, forceful control of something, but by understanding. When I wake up, the dream world is controlled, meaning of the way it can't control me. I'm free from it. Let's say there's a dream and I become awake in the dream. It won't, you know, is it going to catch me? It won't catch me because I know it's just an idea. It's not a reality like this, you know. So this point here is saying the for the jnani, samsara doesn't have control over them. Because they see through it, they see it's as good as an appearance like this. This is how they control like this. And again, it's through change in vision, change in understanding like this, that they see through. They see the substance. The father takes the children to the fair, and then they have some candy there. And the candy is in different shapes. So the daughter's older takes the one that's the elephant. Now the younger one is crying because there's no more elephants there. They're all the same thing. They lick it, just sugar, right? Nothing else. And is crying because wants this one. The bigger one understands, isn't so much attached. Okay, you can take the elephant. Okay, give me, I'll take the horse. What's the big deal? For that one, doesn't matter. So here, because the older one understands they're just taking, you know, they're just going to have the sweet in the mouth, it doesn't matter the shape. The younger one doesn't understand that. So in this way, the jnani sees that it's all the same sugar candy like this. In this way. Sarga yesham samyesti tam manaha. So these people, because of their mind becomes established balance, because it's not perturbed by all the other stuff, because they see all this other stuff as just the play of the world, not as the essence. So then, nirdoshami samam brahma. So this Brahman, the sameness, cannot have any blemish. An interesting thing in Ayurveda, their dosha is different, but there are three doshas, right? The body. But the interesting thing, they probably chose the word, because words are not just given randomly to things in Sanskrit. And what happens, each one of them, okay, if there are three doshas, I'm more, you know, kapha, pitta, vata, like this, I'm more kapha, pitta, or more vata, or whatever it is. What happens is that each one of them has the potential for certain problems too. Like this. So anything, the moment something has some limitation, meaning there's some blemish there already, because it can cause some problems from it, and it will, in any case, it will, anything there will also deteriorate, and it also makes it seem to be something that it's not, if you want. But in any case, so Brahman, you can't say Brahman has some sort of defect. Oh, the Brahman has some sort of, you know, fault in it. Take the space, right? The, you know, like ozone layer, there can be a hole in the ozone. The space. Oh, there's a problem in the space. We have to fix the space. What's the problem? You know, space is space, like this. So Brahman, you can't have impure Brahman or something. Consciousness. Because the thing is, identify with the body-mind, and there, there's change there, there are problems. There are, you know, body doshas, and this way. But the mind, but the you, consciousness, where's what can affect it? It's like space, untouched by anything. So what problem can it have? So this is the Brahman, and the one establishing knows that they're the conscious being. The conscious being isn't something individual, it's the universal consciousness. We say Atma and Brahman just in order to differentiate, but it's the same thing. Because we say Brahman means the universal consciousness, the unlimited behind everything. We say Atma means the consciousness behind I, the individual being, but it's not two different things. It's just used for terminology's sake. Just like the character in the dream was you. The whole you are, as the dreamer, the one behind the whole dream world, right? Now, are you the character in the dream? Yes, I was that. Are you the dreamer who's behind the whole dream world? Yes, I'm that. Hey, how can you be both of those? Tell me, one or the other. Right? Like Mr. Biden is president, Mr. Biden is the grandparent of these kids. Which one? You can't be, hey, how can you be the grandparent and be president? Well, just a role, because of the roles, right? It's not him, so. You have the role as the character in the dream. You have the role as the dream, the one who's dreamt, who's behind the whole dream world. The roles, you're the same one in this way. So the universal consciousness, so that's for the dream world. Now for this dream world, this individual, yes, I'm the one behind this individual. There's the consciousness behind everything. Yes, I'm the consciousness behind everything, just like you do to the dream world. And actually, the swapna vichara, what happens is, you know, you use it as a tool, because the more you look at it in the dream, you analyze the dream like that, and you see I'm the one behind the whole dream world, the one that I was as the individual, is the one that I was behind the whole dream world. It's easier then to say, okay, just as aware, I'm the one behind this individual, and the whole world of experiences that is, I'm behind that. It's easier to see it like this. So it's a very good, the more you look at it, it's very good taking time to the vichara against something. In class we talk about, we point out, so it is vichara, but then your own mananam, you think about and you know, this exact point of the dream, take time, you think about, you take, you know, exactly bring that to mind, and then it really helps to clarify this, to bring you back to yourself as the conscious being, not the individual. So they're their sameness, because sameness in the world is there's the same as something being the same. Nothing is the same, it's constantly changing. Right? They say you can't bathe in the same river twice. You dip in, you come out. They say dip three times for purification. You'll dip once, come up, and they'll say, wait, the water already moved, it's a different river. You have to start from one again. Dip, oh, it's moved, okay. You can never dip it three times in the same river, and now you're in trouble. How are you gonna do the ritual? But, so same thing, anything in the world is constantly changing. So it's not same. So the only sameness is the riverbed beneath, so the base of the adhishtanam, the base for everything. So the consciousness is same. So tasmad brahmanite stitaha, so these, they're established in Brahman. Established in sameness, meaning in the Brahman. So established in Atma, in the consciousness unchanging within in me, is being established in universal consciousness. So it's seemingly something separate, seemingly, but when we look at it, we see it's not two different things. See if any other important points here that we didn't cover. So as the individual, then samsara samyak sarati, samyak very well. So very moves very well, meaning constantly moving, non-stop moving. So one Mahatma says it's not merry-go-round, it's sorry-go-round. Because merry-go-round, you enjoy, you get off. Here, you enjoy it now, you have to keep going. You have no choice. So in any case, so this one is always, what is samsara? I always want to get to something. I want to get something to be happier. Want to get to something to be more secure. Want to become something. But that's never ending, right? Because as the individual, there's no end in sight with that. That's why ocean of samsara, there's no end to that. Because I think, okay, I'll get here then. Okay, but when I get there, then I see, okay, that's not the end, the finish line. There's still something more. So there's no end, like chasing the horizon like this. So this is a samsara story in this way. And seems there's no solution like this. So this is, and so the solution, it can't be done within this becoming. The becoming is endless, but that's why again, iha, here and now is where the solution is, not some place in time. The understanding here and now, what I am. You know. And then, okay, if the appearance of samsara goes on, let it go on. But then it doesn't disturb in this way. So this is how the samsara, how we get caught up in this. And the whole study then is to understand, to see through this. So let's continue here. Na prahrishye priyam prapyaha.
Na prahrishye priyam prapyaha.
No dvijet prapya cha priyam.
No dvijet prapya cha priyam.
Stita buddhira sammudhaha.
Stita buddhira sammudhaha.
Brahmavit brahmani sthitaha.
Brahmavit brahmani sthitaha.
Facing the pleasant, he is not elated. And facing the unpleasant, he is not depressed. A knower of Brahman is firm in knowledge, free from delusion, and established in Brahman. So having obtained something desirable, then priyam prapya, having obtained, then naparahrishe doesn't get elated, and na udvije doesn't get upset, like this. Prapya, having obtained, apriyam, what is not favorable. So again, the samsara meaning like the roller coaster, up and down all the time, in this way, but the jnani doesn't get pushed up and down from it, seeing through it, because what happens is we're identifying with the external circumstances like this, so then it pushes us up and down. But then that's again just the external, from understanding something else. And why is it like this? Stira buddhihi. This one has the stira buddhi, has clear knowledge, has doubtless knowledge. Because what happens is we say sthira buddhi, or in the second chapter, last part, we call the sthita prajna lakshana, where it talks about what are the signposts of somebody who is establishing wisdom. Because being established, that's the difference. There's no question about it. I have some idea about it, okay. But some idea isn't going to do it in this way. Have to have, you know, clear knowledge. No question about it. Otherwise, it doesn't do the same. Because then it won't. If I have some doubt about it, it won't totally do. Like the example we have of the cable. There's a cable with very high voltage. If you have some doubt whether it's on or not, you're not going to touch it. If you have no doubt about it, you won't have a problem touching it. But if you have any doubt, okay, I'm pretty sure it's off. I'm pretty sure there's nothing going on there. You're going to keep a distance. You know for sure, only then you touch it like this. So this is what makes a difference. So doubtless, clear knowledge of this. Asammudhai isn't deluded. And this is one of the things helps with that, to establish, the more I study it, then the more we practice nididhyasanam. And one form of it which is very helpful is what we call alert living, because what happens is the whole study, there's shravanam, where we're listening to what is being taught in the shastra, listening to, so it goes in. Then mananam, we have to reflect on it. Like this, the swapna vichara. Now I have to do my own swapna vichara from what I heard, bring it to mind, this. Then part of the mananam is also asking, say, oh, you come to the teacher, oh, look, I did it, but this one wasn't clear. Why is it like this and not like this? Whatever question comes up, and the more I look into it, then the deeper questions will also come up like this. Because surface questions, they can go pretty quickly, but like this then. So I have to remove my doubts. But what happens is, that's the second thing. Shravanam points out, illustrates what is the truth, like this. Then mananam, to clarify my doubts, to churn them. Swami Paramarthanandaji here, he says that we have to raise all the questions until no questions are left. It's not that there's... Because the thing is, not being able to ask question stifles the mind. Just believe this and that's it. And then the mind gets dull, you know. Maybe it gives some comfort, yes, that I belong to the right thing, or I went, you know, that I will be saved or whatever. Again, okay, there can be something there, but it won't, I won't know something. Now, of course, the questions have to be because I'm looking and I want to understand. Because I can just say, questions can be, what is the question, why I'm asking is the question. The question about the question, why I'm asking. I want to know, I want to understand, look into like this. So then, you know, so until no questions. But then, nididhyasanam, what happens is I have other habits that get in the way, right? I know just like a example from day to day, maybe I know that caffeine, sugar aren't good for me, and maybe I've blood pressure is going up, maybe my sugar level is going up, but I can't help going and having my coffee with sugar in this, like this. So that even though I know the habit is different, let's say something this way. So here the alert living is not having the other habits take over. And it's, you know, that's a challenge to do according to, you know, what's needed. What's needed, and not according to what is the habit, like this. That takes a lot of effort to do. And so, of course, the clearer it is, the more natural, but this is a very good practice. This alert living is present, aware. And actually, one thing I found a little bit from this is you're alert. The more you're alert, where's the alert coming from? The fact you're aware. So slowly brings your attention more to the fact that you're aware, you're conscious, and not to the mind stuff. So of course, so it has like two benefits. One is the worldly thing, slowly I shift much to do things more from dharma and less from just, you know, the whims of the mind, just my preferences. And second, as you go deeper, it shows you that, you know, the base of everything you're doing behind is the fact that you're aware, the awareful being. So this alert living, asammurdha, not through delusion, not through just whatever is coming up at the moment in this way. So brahmavid, so the know brahman, brahmanisthitaha is well established in that, in the brahman, in this way. So here actually that can be said that brahmavid, so one knows brahman, meaning one is shravanam, one studies the text so they know. And sthira buddhihi, which is it then, which is mananam, sthira buddhihi, a clear understanding because I churned it, and asammudaha, and then nididhyasanam. So you can break it, it's sharavarnamana nididhyasanam if you want to, in this way, that's how some people teach like this, but the essential thing is, essential points are the important thing, like this. Mm-hmm. Now, one other thing here then is that the jnani doesn't live in a different world, just like you and me here, right? It's not that. That's another reason why seeing people that are, you know, a deeper understanding is very important, because you see how day in day out just dealing with the same world. It's not living in a different world, right? Day in, day out, having to get up, having to deal with the body, whatever body problem, whatever issues, having to deal with the world around like this. It's not that it's a different place. So, but seeing it differently like this, in this way. Okay? So the same laws, same issues are there. The same issues. And the same issues you can break in categories. Categories, say, desha, in the place, meaning whatever situation around, people, and, you know, external circumstances, all of this. And then kala, with time, things change over time, right? The body is changing over time. We don't have a choice about that. We can maybe do something about it that, you know, okay, maybe less chances of physical problems, but we can't get away. Take any masters, you'll find physical issues were there, like this. So our Vishnu used to say, you know, I have the gray hair, he'd say, and the hair is changing moment by moment. He said, it used to be Hatha Yogi, fingers used to be very flexible, now they're stiff like a steel rod, he'd say. And he'd be talking about my body changing moment by moment. And then he'd say, don't think only Swami Vishnu's body is changing moment by moment, your body is also changing like this, like this. So it's changing. So this is another thing also. The moment there's body, I have to deal with that. And third also is the prarabdha. I have to deal with prarabdha. This life came from whatever karma. So it's going to, it's going to go through its course. That we don't have a choice about. It started, it'll go through its course, it'll come to an end. That's just how it is too. So jnani also, prarabdha is there. If one becomes jnani and they're gone, there's no, that doesn't happen. The life still will play through in this way. So those the jnani is dealing with as well. Not that they're in a totally different place. But then the attitude, the main thing is the attitude change. The attitude change is what makes a difference in this way. You know, just like the children, the game is a big deal for them and we can play with them, but you know, okay. You know, we play with them and then okay, so we just externally get very happy or get very upset in this. We do it externally. And when they're smaller, we purposely let them win and everything because so they'll enjoy. When they're a little bigger, even if we try, we can't win anyway anymore. So it doesn't matter, right? Once they reach a certain age, you even want to beat them, no way. They're faster. Or memory game, they met with you match the two things they already remembered clearer than us. So it doesn't matter. But the thing is then, we just know we're playing, it doesn't matter. The child is all caught up, it's a big thing for them. So there's that difference. And the difference is not play, the difference is the attitude. So the jnana, the attitude is different like this. This is the interesting thing. And then, of course, all the scriptures, they're all there in order to show examples of these things. This is one thing, a lot of time the scripture, then people are listening, they say, oh, it's the divine story, and they want to worship the deity and everything, but what is being taught there we should learn. That's the important thing. Sri Rama's example is there for us. We can worship Rama, which is wonderful, but then if we don't see it as the example, then that's the main thing, the most important thing. And so the example of, he's supposed to be coronated as king, but then the next thing is he has to go and live in the forest like this, banished. And for him, it's the same, right? Same, he's happy, he actually even says that how fortunate, I very much wanted to go to these different places and visit these different ashrams and the rishis. Look how fortunate I am that I can go and do that now, like this. So in this way, the attitude, where the father's attitude, the opposite. So happy that Rama will be king, and then very depressed, and the depression kills him too, that Rama has to leave, like this. So the difference between doing with attachment and doing, you know, without the attachment, like this. So this is these wonderful examples are there like this, okay? And then what happens then, of course, the situation itself, you know, situations we can do some things about. So we do what's needed. But the difference is we can't change everything in the situation, not possible, right? We can't change, but what I can change again is my outlook, my attitude towards it. This is the important thing. And one thing is, one nice exercise is, okay, to change about big things, maybe it's a little hard for me to do right all at once. But if I take some smaller things and I learn to change my attitude towards it, then what it does, it makes it, it proves to me that I can change my attitude. And when I can do to smaller things, I can do to the bigger things too, like this. This is the, then, you know, small things I can do, then why not other things? Because eventually it's towards everything, but I can start with smaller exercises. This one, we used to have this positive thinking course based on Swami Shivananda's book, Thought Power. I'd mentioned that it's a great book to have and to read. Then, you know, we do that as homework for, you know, you take something, not the big thing, that big problem, whatever it is, but small thing. This person at work I have to deal with and it's a bit of a headache, this. Something like this that's not, and you slowly change how you look at it and then you see how you see it differently. Well, that person must come. They must have some difficulty, some problem. That's already like this. I should have some pity on them. Think of them well. You know, what's the big deal? Why should I waste my time to think negatively about them? Whatever, however you decide. And the more you think about that, you change and you see I can look at it differently. in this way. So this exercise is really great, because in the end, this is a change in attitude. The whole thing, bhakti, upasana, in the end, change my attitude. There's one God behind everything. Everything is the presence of the one God. That's the greatest upasana. Then, more and more I see the wonderful thing about this, the more my conviction is in that, then I only have to deal with two things. There's the God manifests as everything in me. Okay, now there's only not multitude, but dvaita. There's really just two, dvaita. Meaning there's God and there's me. Okay, now let me easier to resolve that. Me, and maybe there's a God behind everything that hopefully is helping me some of the time. And there's so many other things and beings and problems, it's overwhelming. But once it becomes that, how much simpler it is. So in this way, that's if somebody has the devotion, they really learn to see there's the God behind everything. You know, not too much left for Vedanta, won't be too hard then. Like that. So that's an excellent preparation like this. So difference between, we get all excited up and down because of the external situations, which are coming and going anyway, and then the jnani sees through them, so it's not going to be, you know, all those ups and downs. Because also it just comes and goes in this way. And actually, he'll discuss more about that as it continues here, Shri Krishna. So let's see here. Bahyasparsheshvasaktatma.
Bahyasparsheshvasaktatma.
Vidatyatmani yat sukham.
Vidatyatmani yat sukham.
Sabrahma yoga yuktatma.
Sabrahma yoga yuktatma.
Sukhamakshayam ashnute.
Sukhamakshayam ashnute.
One whose mind is not engaged in external objects attains that ananda which is in the Atma. He whose mind is engaged in meditation on Brahman attains lasting ananda. So bahyasparsheshu asakta atma, bahyasparsheshu in the external objects. So in the what external object, it's not that there is, sparsha means to touch, but here means that there is, you come in touch with the objects. How do I come in touch? Through seeing, through hearing, through touch, taste, smell. So in this way, those are external. So the person within this who is not attached to them. Because actually, what attaches me? I see something. What connects me to that? My mind connects me to that. It's there. I see some things as walking the street, I just see. No problem. I come home and I see, oh no, why like this in my yard, in my place, right? So the attachment comes, my identification with it, not the thing in itself. It's my own mind like this, right? Many kids, no problem. That's my child or my grandchild. Oh, then they should be like this, or oh, how wonderful they're, what they're doing in this way. So where is that coming from? I see, but then it's my own mind in this way. So the understanding that it's not really, there's no real connection to the external things. How are the things in the dream, can you hold on, are you connected to? No, they came, they flew by, they flowed by. So life, things are flowing by, but I'm holding on to it like this, in this way. But the one who is not attached to this through their understanding, and here we can say, this is the karma yogi then, somebody who then is seeing something beyond, not just going according to the whims of the mind, not just going by likes and dislikes. So whatever comes and goes, they're looking a little beyond just likes and dislikes, seeing there's something greater behind. Then easier for the mind not to be as much attached. Asaktatma also can be the mind. Atma here can be mind. The mind is not attached in this way. Because seeing, you know, yes, it's a phenomena. Yes, kids growing is a phenomena. Yes, having some difficulties, having some things go smoothly is phenomena. It'll come and go like this. So not attached. then this one then vindati atmani yat sukham, finds peace in atma, peace in the mind, finds something a little bit, you know, just by going beyond that threshold, finds some more peace. Because I find, otherwise, if my peace is situation dependent, how, you know, that's, you know, how, that's so fickle, because that situation changes every moment, right? Constantly, never steady, because the situation, for it to come in, you know, we'll talk about it actually next verse a lot more, but any situation to give happiness has to really just something fall on this very narrow range, and that how much does it happen and how often for how long in this way. And of course, the more specific my attachment expectation, the more it's going to be harder to get to that like this. So very interesting. So if the joy is coming from that, that's my likes, dislikes, it's not going to be the most conducive. But if I go beyond just that threshold, I find a lot more peace. So we can say the karma yogi. Karma yogi sees a little bit beyond, sees, okay, there's something greater behind it, sees that get the joy from doing what's needed to be done, not from the result, then they have some more peace in this. But then, talking in the next second half, we can say is talking about the jnani, saha, this person, brahma yoga yukta atma. By Brahma Yoga, by association, by the, you know, by the clear knowledge of Brahman, Yukta, who this person who is, has that clear vision, Atma, knowing the Atma, the mind, having clear idea in the mind that they are no other than the Atma, like this. Then the Atma is no other than Brahman. Sukham, Akshayam Ashnute, this one has unending, the unending joy, happiness, because it's not dependent on something. Because the thing is, the reservoir of contentment is infinite within Atma. When I'm happy for, you know, some joy comes, what happens at that time, the mind is not running after something else, doesn't want something else. So I just rest in my own self, like deep sleep, right? We love, deep sleep is very nice because I drop all the objects. Something happened, now I'm happy, content. I worked very hard towards something, I got there, okay, I feel content. So at that time, I don't need something else to bring the happiness to me. The happiness is coming from within me. Now, I think it's from something outside, but it's really because the mind is not disturbing me wanting to get to something or become something or expecting something. So the mind is not running after the thing, so I'm just content from within myself. But I think it's coming from that object. So now the mind can only stay there for so long, and then it starts bubbling up and getting wanting something else. Yes, I completed this project, but there's this other thing looming I really need to take care of. So then it goes away, and I think when I finish taking care of that, then I'll really be happy. And if I manage, okay, for a little while too, but the mind won't stay in that for so long. A side thing on this is through meditation and quieting the mind, then one can keep the mind for longer like this. And they actually, some study they did a few, like 20, 30 years ago maybe, I read that some Tibetan monks that just, you know, way out there meditating all the time, when they measured, first of all, the theta waves in their mind were beyond the charts that people thought was possible, scientists thought were possible, first of all. And that they stayed for long, meaning longer than they thought. They thought peak moments for, I don't know, 20, 30 seconds maximum, whatever they thought. These were for so much longer. So they broke what science thought is possible with this. And the interesting thing is with those monks also, the longer they were practicing, the more you could see. So this one did for 20 years or 30 years, 40 years. They saw the longer, then the more effect it had. Then the, you know, more it stayed there. Very interesting. But again, that's this measuring that state of mind. So let's say I can keep my happiness level for 5 minutes instead of the 30 seconds average. Okay, very nice, but it's still dependent on, can be dependent on the mental state. So the dependent mental state isn't what's needed. The mental state should depend on my understanding. The understanding is there, then I don't need the external thing because I understand that the contentment is my nature. The ananda swarup, Chaitanya Swarupa, the consciousness itself, the happiness is that, the contentment is that. I'm looking for it in the wrong place. Because what is happiness? The state of mind. Because I'm not contentment, I don't need something else to fulfill me. As consciousness, I'm full. So the endless supply is there, right? They say now we don't have it as much anymore. I don't think maybe probably in server rooms or things they have actually the UPS uninterrupted power supply, just for a computer used to need. Now we don't. They have batteries and everything, so we don't need any more. But that used to be a thing you'd want when you had the computer, the UPS. So here, the commentary says UAS, uninterrupted ananda supply. Because I need it from something. And what happens is the ananda, we say, the experiential ananda, experiential joy, is always going to be in gradations. Because I see something I very much like, then, okay, it's a certain level of joy, right? Okay, wow, it's very nice, I'm very happy. Then I get it, what I want, that thing I like, even more joy, right? Let's say that, you visit and your mom's cooking. You smell, you're going, oh, you're so happy. You're thinking about it, you're going to home. It makes you happy. You get there and you smell it, it's around, so you know it's coming. Oh, how much more joy. Then you're eating it. Oh, how much more joy. So it's in gradation. So gradation means also it'll come and go. Anything gradation is a wave, it'll come and go. But the contentment of the self isn't experiential, it's just its nature. So is it going to come and go? It's always there. But the thing is, I'm looking for it in the changing one, in the reflection. So I can never totally get it like this. I can get, but for a certain amount. Deep sleep is the closest thing, but deep sleep again, I wake up, oh, experiential. I experienced a deep sleep. It was very nice. But it went, it came and went, right? So it's a reflection of it. The original one is you itself, but I keep wanting it from something else. And from something else, that's why always be, never be fully satisfied in this. So if somebody knows that, okay, if something from outside, wonderful, can be happy with it. If nothing from outside, okay, wonderful, I'm happy because of, not because. I am the, that is me. I am the, what I am is the contentment. Now, one thing also that, because the term given for self, Satchitananda, then people a lot of time think ananda is some great, oh, very wonderful, great joy experience. But again, joy experience, again, gradations comes and goes. So that ananda usually then pointed out as ananta. Because also satyam jnanam anantam brahma. So veda nihitam guhayam paramevyoman, let's hear from the Taittiriya Upanishad. Satyam jnanam anantam. So they say there, anantam, meaning limitless. So better to see it like this than ananda as joy, because as joy, we always think of experiential joy, but experiential joy is a mental, something in the mind, so it comes and goes. Where really what I want is contentment more than joy. And of course, the joy will be natural from that, but the contentment isn't some here. And here it says what you are as conscious is limitless. So then it's limitless. It's not like, the joy of experiential joy, but of full contentment like this, because I don't need something else to fulfill me. That's why also purnatvam. We say that atma purna, it's complete, whole in itself. I'm whole, why do I need something else to fulfill? In the second chapter, there was saying that just as the ocean, right, the ocean is full in itself. Let the rivers bring water, the ocean is full. Let the rivers dry up, the ocean is full. Doesn't matter to it. Doesn't need something to fulfill it. So if you're Purna, you know you're the Atma, which is full, limitless. Some other joy comes from outside, some news. Okay, very good. You're still full in yourself, it came. The things aren't coming, they dried up. Okay. Then, so this is the jnani that has knows from themselves. So the karma, with karma yoga, okay, from dharma, from not being caught up in the small stuff, there's a deeper sense of contentment. But from jnanam then, there's fullness. And really, what I'm looking for in the things is fullness, but I don't find them, unfortunately, because looking in the wrong place, like this, like the old lady who was looking outside for the needle, and the neighbor came, what are you looking for? Oh, my needle I was sewing. Oh, really? Okay, I'll help you find it. Okay, let's look. Oh, by the way, mother, where were you sewing? I was sitting in the house. Then why are you looking outside? Well, there's a light out here. There's no light inside, so I'm looking here. So she's looking in the wrong place, so he won't find it. So worldly happiness I'll find outside, but I have to know what worldly happiness is. Like fireworks, it'll be pshht, and then, you know, come and then go. But then I won't find the deeper content, I won't find it there. Like this. So this is what it's saying in this way. So this is how we see it like this. An external for joy. This is 21, right? Yeah. So we can finish with this one so we don't start the other one. Whole one is discussing more, which we'll do next week, is discussing about then the whole experiential joy like this, experiential and how the defects in it and why jnani won't be as caught up in it. Very useful for us for our own analysis, but so because of the time remaining, let's just keep it at this for today. We'll have something to look forward to next time. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So, any questions we have today before we finish?
I have a couple of questions.
Yes, please.
In the verse 19, yes. It says, here itself birth is overcome by them whose mind is established in sameness. So here actually means now, right now.
Yes, yes. Because again, as we said, it's not post-time, after death, or a certain experience will bring that. Meaning here, that it's now, it's always here, always present. It's actually, if I say, I'll work hard in a few years, I will get to liberation. I think I will get to. But it's what I am here and now, always.
In this moment.
This moment. The moment you recognize, you see it's always like that. So it's a recognition and something you always knew, but just didn't notice it. You always were. Like examples given of the prince who, you know, got lost and was brought up as a poor person, right? When he comes back to the... brought back and finds out he's the prince. When was he the prince? He always was the prince, he just wasn't aware of it. So it's not that now he became aware and now he became the prince. No, he always was. So I'm always the consciousness, but I'm just not aware of it. So the moment I know, it's now, it's not. It's always now, always was like this. Interesting, like this, yeah. Because one important thing is that people think specific, after death, I'll go to a special place, or I need a very special experience, something like that. Now, it's true, you know. We don't notice it, that's why we study, that's why karma yoga purify the mind, yes. But in order to find what's already there, to see what's there, it has always been there, like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And the mind, can mind also is like a sense organ, is it? Or is it a sense organ?
Well, the thing is that it's the master organ, because what happens, the mind can't directly go to the objects, right? The senses connect to the objects, but then they need the mind behind them too. Without the mind, how are they going to do it? So we say the sense organs, we say they're the external, bahishkaranam, and this is antakaranam, the inner one. Both are needed. If either is missing, you can't experience, right? I need the eyes to see it, and I need the mind behind the eyes as well. So both are needed in this way. So the whole thing has to work. So it's very amazing engineering. And our engineering, of course, copies it, because you have the computer here. It has the software and it has the hardware. So there's the camera, right? But it has the software behind the camera. So it's very similar, built in a very similar way like that. Because, you know, where did the idea come from our experiences? So both are needed. So of course the mind is, and the mind, you know, when the sense, in sleep, the sense organs are gone, but the mind can replay from its experience, because it got the data from the outside. So it's just, you know, playing around with that. So meaning seeing is in the mind, but the memory of seeing. Because if somebody was blind, there won't be a memory of seeing, right? I have to first see, and then there can be a memory of seeing, then the mind can play around with that. It needs the data first. So it is an organ, it is an instrument, and all the senses go into it, because you have data from all the senses get registered in it. Very interesting. So it's something more elaborate, powerful than the senses themselves, but works in coordination with them. In this way, yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bethany's away this week, and she also likes questions and everything. Of course, everybody's welcome to ask anything, no problem. So one thing is, I'm going to, every year I usually go to Pennsylvania for Swami Tatvirananda's course, usually 2 or 3 weeks, but this year, unfortunately, I'll be able to go for the whole 5 weeks. So I'm able to do it. So that means, after today, there'll be 2 more classes, then I'm away for until the end of May, end of October. So, you know, I'm sorry about this class, but that's a bit month break, which we usually don't have such a long break, but I have that opportunity, and I've been wanting to do it for years, because that's where I learned the most from this. Now, what happens is, I was thinking, what can we do?